Matthew 4:18 through 25. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan.
This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I know you guys. And I know that for many of you, there has been a time in your life like there was in mine where God showed up in your life in a real way and in a really clear way, and he called you to go down a different path than you were going down. Amen? And so that is a distinct time in our lives that we remember. Wes was sharing with me that God called him to move from Atlanta to Roanoke. And he picked up and left. Biggest mistake of his life. I'm just kidding now. While he was here, he met his wife, Whitney, and they've started a beautiful family here. And following Jesus has all kinds of surprises. DJ was telling me that he was boarding a plane to Africa. He felt like God had called him to go and do ministry in Africa for a season. And he was standing on that plane, and he was getting ready to turn his back to his wife and his kids. And he said, "You know, I'm really going to miss those kids." Sorry, Angela. And his wife. Sorry, that was a poor attempt at a joke. But, and then he went not knowing what was going to happen and what God was going to do. And he stepped into that adventure and he stepped into that surprise. And God did wonderful things there. In my own life, I remember distinctly when God was drawing me out of the construction business in Virginia Beach. And I was wearing a tool belt every day, and I was going out with guys and doing jobs and working on houses, and something that I used to love to do, and I would stand back when the house was done and go, "Man, I'm awesome." And then God's like, "No, you're not. You need to follow me." And so today, take some notes. The title of our message is Following King Jesus, because one of the greatest times in your life is when you wake up and you realize that you're not in control and you're not the boss and that you need to bow the knee to King Jesus. And when you do that, your life changes and he calls you on the adventure of discipleship. And we need to do that, pick up that cross daily and follow him. Lord Jesus, we give this time to you. We ask that you would minister to us from your word, from this passage. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In this passage, we're going to see that following King Jesus in this section, verses 18 through 25, that we're going to unpack, we're going to see the king's call in this first section where Jesus goes and he calls these fishermen to drop everything they were doing and to come follow him. And then right there in the middle of the passage, Jesus is teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, right? And basically what he's saying is, hey, the kingdom has come and I'm the king. That's why I have the authority and why you should be willing to follow me right now. And then he's also a compassionate king. We see the king's compassion in the last part because Jesus goes out and he ministers to the multitudes. And the Bible tells us that when he looked upon the multitudes, upon the crowds and the hurt and the pain that they were experiencing, that he had great compassion for them. So just know that this King Jesus that we serve is a wonderful king. He's a king that calls us specifically by name, not to just repent, not to just say, hey, I want to cross that line of salvation and ask for forgiveness of my sins, but he calls us into a life in his kingdom of following him. And then he reminds us that proclamation of that kingdom is part of the deal, and caring and actually having a heart for other people is being like him. So let's read verses 18 through 22. We'll talk about the king's call. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, remember last week Jason did an amazing job of opening the scriptures to us and saying that Jesus left the area of Jordan that he was in when John the Baptist got arrested, and he went to this area of Galilee, also called Galilee of the Gentiles, right? It was this Galilee of the Gentiles because it was this dark place that was inhabited by Jewish and Gentile people. And it was a wonderful place for Jesus to go and do his ministry because there were many there that did not know him. And it was a sign to us that this kingdom was not just for a select few, but God was opening this kingdom up for nations around the world to come and to follow him. And so the Bible tells us in that prophecy there just a few verses earlier that a light had come. The light had dawned, and the people that were living in darkness now had a light that they could see. That light was Jesus. So Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. This is where his ministry was going to center for a couple of years. And he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You might want to know right there that this isn't the first time that Jesus has met these guys. It's not the first time that Jesus has met Andrew or Simon Peter, because about a year earlier, there's about a year gap, we believe, right here between Jesus' temptation and the ministry that we're seeing now, when John the Baptist was not arrested. If you go to John chapter 1, you'll see that Jesus was there with John the Baptist, and as he was passing by, what does Jesus do? He points to Jesus and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two of John's own disciples hear John say that, and they're like, "Whoa, wait, this is the Lamb of God? This is the Messiah that was to come?" And so they peel off from John the Baptist, and they start following Jesus, which is a great thing. And they say, "Hey, Jesus, where are you going?" He's like, "Hey, follow me. I'll show you where I'm staying the night." And they did that. One of those people was Andrew. And the very next thing Andrew did, he went and he got his brother, Simon Peter, and he said these words, "Hey, come and meet the Messiah. The Messiah has shown up. He is here. He has come. The one that we have waited for. It might be time for this kingdom that we've been dreaming about and reading about in the Old Testament to finally appear." And so they follow Jesus. They hear this teaching. They hear this message from John the Baptist and from Jesus about repenting. And we've been pushing into that the last several weeks, saying that we, as part of God's kingdom, need to have a culture here in this church of confession and repentance. That needs to be a part of our everyday lives, our everyday existence, individually and as a group. But we go further into the passage and we see that following Jesus is a part of this package as well. And so they go back to fishing. Won't be the first time they do that. They go back to fishing, and then we see the king's call, right? And what does he say to them in verse 19? And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We're going to come back there and hang out. Let's keep going, verse 20. Immediately their response was, they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, same word there, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So there's some things that we could see here in this call that Jesus gives to these fishermen on that specific day. They're going about their lives, they're doing their work, and then he gives this call, and it's a call with authority that demands obedience, okay? The call that Jesus gave is a call that has authority, and it demands obedience. Where do we get that? Well, you see, Jesus wasn't asking, "Hey, guys," I mean, this is an imperative, right? "Follow me." He's got the relationship. We assume that they already have an idea that this kingdom is going to start at some time. They're guys who want to help bring this kingdom to bear. And when he says, follow me, they obey. And they drop their nets. They left their boat. They left their dad. And they took off. And what did they do? They followed Jesus. And so Jesus is the king. I think one thing that's been really beautiful is not a great word for me to say for whatever reason, but this past week it's been kind of beautiful for me to read this passage on one side, and I want you to do that in your mind right now, and on this other side kind of parallel it with the Great Commission. And so if you're here and you've been following Christ for a while, you might know that the Great Commission, we find that in Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus says these words as he's getting ready to leave planet Earth and ascend back to heaven. He says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This call that Jesus gives to follow me and I will make you fishers of men, it is a call with authority that demands obedience. Because if Jesus is your king, you do what your king tells you. And it parallels this story with the Great Commission when he says, all authority has been given to me because I am the king of the kingdom. And then he gives them another command and he tells them this, to go and make disciples and teaching them also to observe and to obey everything I have commanded you. So where does that leave us? Well, for us today, we know that Jesus still calls us to follow him. It's a simple call and it's a clear call to obey our master. And so we are to, when we hear that voice, we are to follow him and do what he tells us to do because he is our authority. What does that look like in our everyday life? You know, it's been said that, well, you know, it was easy. In fact, my kids and I were studying this passage this week, and this actually came up in our living room. Yeah, well, you know, Pastor John, they didn't say that. Yeah, Dad, it would kind of been easier back then because they could see Jesus. So when he said, follow me, they could literally see his footprints, right, in the sand. And they could follow him, and they would observe everything that he did and everything that he taught. And the idea of follow is not just, hey, let's play a game of tag or follow the leader. It is you become like your leader, like your rabbi, like your master. Your goal is to become like him, to be a disciple, to be a learner. And so it's easier to follow him then. And how do we do that now? And that is a great question and one that we need to wrestle with every single time we open the scriptures is, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do? Well, in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus talks about follow me again, and he says it like this, my sheep know my voice, and what do? They follow me. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And we know that, you know, when we follow people today, you know, you might follow someone on Twitter, you might follow somebody on some other social media platform, you might try to keep up with what people are doing. You might get an email or a text message from somebody to know what's happening, a phone call. That's not the way that God works in our lives. And so if we want to be a people that come under the authority of God and we want to do what the disciples do here and follow him, we got to know how to do that. And simply what that means is listening for the voice of God and doing what he tells you to do. This is all summarized, and we'll get to it in the next point, of discipleship. Now, I know that we can sometimes make discipleship really complicated, right? But the truth of the matter is, discipleship, it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not complicated. Here's what it looks like. Listen to the voice of Jesus, and then obey what he tells you to do as your authority. Is that hard? Yeah, it's hard. Is it simple? It's pretty simple and straightforward. What's simple about this? Hey guys, yeah, you on the boat. Sorry, I woke you up there. What is it, Jesus? Follow me. There's no confusion, right? That's pretty straightforward. Follow me. Do what I tell you to do, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so this call is a call to authority. And for us, what that looks like is we're not going to necessarily drop everything that we're doing. Keep in mind that the disciples, when they decided to follow Jesus, they had already known Jesus for a while. But when he showed up and he gave them this direct command, they were ready to let go. I imagine as I'm studying that these guys are fishing, right? And I grew up fishing. I grew up following my granny and my pop to the ocean, and we would fish longer than I wanted to, and we would fish with these same kind of nets. They're a round net with weights on the end, and you had to know exactly how to hold it, and you had this rope tied around your wrist, and you would fling this thing out, right? And if you did it right, it would open up into this really wide circle because you wanted it as wide as possible. When you first started trying it, you'd throw it, and it would just chunk right there and scare all the fish away, right? So it's like, stay away from me. I'm trying to catch something over here. But what you can't do is you can't hold on too tightly. I'm thinking these guys were actually singing some 38 special while they're doing their fishing, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? 38 special goes, just hold on loosely and don't let go. Because if you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control. And so I'm just like imagining that going on. Because there's this balance between holding the net tight enough that you can actually do what you're doing there in the moment, but loose enough so that when you need to let go, you can let go properly and it does what it's called to do. In the same way, the way that we do what these guys are doing is we repent of our sins, we change our mind, our attitudes, our actions about the way that we used to live, and we acknowledge that we are not the authority of our lives, God is. And then you do what you're called to do in that moment, and that probably is the work that you do day in and day out that God has called you to, whether you're a teacher, whether you're holding a ruler in your hand, whether you're a fisherman and you're holding a net in your hand, whether you're a doctor and you're holding a scalpel in your hand, whatever it is that you are called to do, you do that. But you keep an eye out, an ear out for Jesus and his voice so that when he says, come follow me, that you're not holding too tightly to what you're doing. Because what happens a lot of times for us as believers is we've had a moment where we followed God and we repented and we had this passionate season in our life and it was all good. And then we forget what it means to follow Jesus simply, and our lives get complicated and heavy, and we get so bought into our lives and in our careers, and we step away from this call to abandon everything else, and we start to live for ourselves, and we start to compare ourselves to other people's lives, and we want to have this middle of the road kind of Christianity where we can kind of look kind of like our friends in the world and still have Jesus too. And that unfortunately sometimes turns into us having a Christianity that just goes to church on Sunday. But you know, the word Christian is only in the Bible three times. You know, the word disciple, discipleship, disciples is in the Bible over 250 times. And so we don't want to just be people who label ourselves as Christian. There's nothing wrong with that, of course. But to say, I am a follower of Jesus, he is my authority, and at a moment's notice, I am ready. My heart is not attached to this world, to my career, to my relationships so much that when Jesus calls me to do something different, I won't be ready to go. Amen? That's what it means to be a disciple, to answer that call, follow me. It's a call with authority, but it's also a call to discipleship. Now, the word disciple is not actually in this passage, but it's certainly inferred here that Jesus is saying, hey, come follow me. He's a rabbi and his learners are going to come and follow him, and they are going to do what he tells them to do, and they are more and more going to become like him. And they are going to mess up a lot while they do it. But Jesus actually, at least six of the disciples we know, he called them in this way. Peter, Andrew, James, John. Just the very straightforward words, follow me. But also Matthew, the tax collector, was sitting at his booth. Jesus walks up, pretty simple, follow me. He gets up, leaves all that life behind, and follows Jesus. Same thing Jesus does with Philip. Jesus actually goes out looking and finds Philip. Doesn't say where, he just finds Philip and says, follow me. Boom. He begins to follow Jesus and be his disciple. In fact, here at Belmont, that's how we define disciple in the very smallest terms possible, is a disciple is a follower of Jesus. Now, we can unpack that in paragraphs and in books, but very simply saying, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. So when Jesus says, come follow me, that is a call to a life of following, a life of discipleship. And we go back to the Great Commission, right? Because Jesus, in this passage, he's the king. He's given the imperative. He gives the command, follow me. They obey, immediately drop their nets. That parallels what we see in the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me. Make disciples that obey my commands. But also this passage of make disciples, that's there in the Great Commission as well, right? When Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a call to discipleship, a call to following Jesus, not just going to church, although that is a huge part of it. But it's a mind shift to say, every part of my life, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. He called them that way. They dropped everything. They followed him. In the same way, what we don't want to do is become a person or a people who are just Christian in name only and have figured out some motions that we can go through throughout the week, but we're not actually hearing from God. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time that God spoke to you clearly and you felt like, this is something I don't want to do, or that's a struggle for me to do, but I'm going to do it because I'm a disciple of Jesus and he is my authority and he's calling me in this direction? If you have a hard time thinking about that or coming up with an example, it could be that you have become kind of like Peter did when Peter drifted away from the Lord and went back to fishing a couple of times. And that, let's be honest, that happens to all of us, right? That happens to me, where I get the drift and you become kind of a professional Christian, right? You know all the routine, you know all the words. You could jump into any Bible study at any time and give insight on the passage and help other people learn. And yet, the terrible part about that is sometimes you can do all of that and it's not changing your heart one tiny bit, because the danger is that it becomes information and not following and not discipling and not changing. Another part of this is a promise, right? It's a call with a promise. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's not saying just follow me. Hey, I want you to observe my life so you can write some stuff about me later on. No, he says, follow me, and I am going to change your identity. I'm going to change your purpose and your priority. You're going to become a different person if you follow me. Come help me change the world. Come help me rescue men. Let me change you from being a fisher of fish, right, to a fisher of men. And so that is what's going on in here. And Jesus, we see that once again, this promise in the Great Commission, when Jesus gives them another promise and he says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age, because he's called us to be disciples that go and change the world, right? That reach the nations. And we can't do that on our own power. We need the power of God and this promise that he is going to make this happen. And we see that promise there in this story. I love imagining what it must have been like for Peter especially to walk off that boat that day. Because Peter's the brashest of the four, right? I mean, he thinks he's got it all figured out and he's all out there. And we have a lot of stories about him in the scriptures. And he's walking off the boat that day and he's heard this authoritative command. And he's heard this call to discipleship. And he's heard this promise that I'm going to change your profession and your identity. And you're no longer going to be catching fish, but you're going to be catching men. He couldn't have known what that meant. He couldn't have known like what that was going to encompass. And that's the beautiful thing about following Jesus, because I can imagine that as Peter's either leaving that shore or walking off of that boat, that he's saying yes to following Jesus and leaving the rest up to him. Because he had no way of knowing that pretty soon he was going to be seeing Jesus feeding 5,000 people with only two fish, right? And five loaves. Like, what? Wait, what? Imagine just staying where you are and staying on the boat and living the routine and not following Jesus, and what he would have missed out. On the very same lake that he left that day, pretty soon after this, guess what Peter was going to be doing? Walking on top of the water. Has anybody here ever walked on water? Any? You have? Okay, great. Black ice, right? I fell on some of that at Kroger last week. I about broke myself. Man, I'm not Peter, I'm not Jesus. But I can just imagine, right, that Peter's like walking and he messes up, right? He takes his eyes off of Jesus, he puts them on the winds and the waves, but he's put himself in the situation where he's out of the boat, right? He's out of the boat and he's walking on water. And I got to imagine at some point he's sitting around a campfire with Jesus going, man, I am so glad that I said yes to this. Because I could have kept doing what I was doing, but I would have missed out on the greatest adventure of my life and participating at this key moment in history where the kingdom of God is being manifested and I get to be a part of this. And then to go on and see all the things that Peter saw, some good, some bad, right? Where Peter is saying, hey, Jesus, how come I can't follow you to where you're going as they're in the upper room? And Jesus says, you can't follow me right now, Peter, but you'll follow me later. And I believe Jesus is just saying there, I'm going to the cross. You can't follow me to the cross and participate in that. That is one thing that only I can do. But you'll follow me after that. And Peter's like, no, I'll follow you. I don't care about all these other chumps. I mean, he like calls out the other disciples, right? He's like, Jesus, I know these guys, let's be honest. John Black, he'll probably flake out quick. But Peter, not me, I'm with you all the way. In the garden, following Jesus, they come to take Jesus for him to be crucified for your sins and for mine. Peter hadn't matured to the point that he needed to yet. So he pulls out his sword and he, in his anger, tries to force the kingdom to happen his way by taking a swing at the king's servant that was there and lops off his ear. And Jesus is like, hey, you got the wrong idea about what my kingdom is about. It's not going to happen through human force or politics. That's not how God's kingdom is brought about. And Jesus picks up that ear and he puts it on, and Peter's got to be going, man, I'm still learning. I'm still following. I could have just stayed where I was comfortable, but here I am living out this promise and this power that he gave me when I left that boat and I said yes and I obeyed. What about you? Has there been a time in your life where you used to follow Jesus more closely and where you've drifted off and maybe your Christianity and your anger have come together and you're whacking people and you're going, wait, this is not what Jesus had in mind. Who have I become? And we all go there. And maybe the call for you today is not to follow Jesus, but to re-follow Jesus in a renewed kind of way that's more simple, that's less complicated, that's more direct. I want to give that call to us today to do that very thing. Well, what does that look like? I have a simple challenge for you today. And that is this, is that over the next 30 days that you would just take 10 minutes a day and open up the Gospel of Matthew and read and listen for the voice of the shepherd, that you would hear his voice, but not just hear his voice. Don't stop there. Follow him. My sheep know my voice. And they follow me. They do what I say. And if you do that, you are going to run into some passages and some sayings of Jesus that are going to rock your world, that are going to go, wait, no, I said I would do this challenge, but I think I need to change my mind because Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. So here's the example. If you read that this week, I hope you will, then go, Lord, today, help me to follow that. How can I follow that teaching today when someone, maybe not literally slaps you, but maybe they will. When someone comes against you, that you'll turn the other cheek, when you want to retaliate, that you would follow Jesus and go, that's not the way of Christ, because when they slapped him, he turned the other cheek and he didn't retaliate in anger. Are you with me? This is a very simple, straightforward plea and a straightforward message to say, if you want to know how to follow Jesus, be still, know that he is God, open up his word, hear his voice, and don't neuter it right there. But take steps to say, God, I can't do this in my own power. I just want to stay in the boat with these fish and these nets and these stinky dudes and just live the life that I'm used to living. But I'm going to step out this week or today, and I know that if you do that, God will give you those opportunities. If that's the passage that you pick, guess what happens? Someone comes against you that day, and you're like, oh, I've got the perfect comeback. Man, I really want to zing them back, but I'm not going to. And it's a day-by-day, lifelong process of becoming like Jesus. It's not a one-time 12-week course where you do discipleship 101, and then all of a sudden, from then on, you're discipled. You are like Jesus. It is for the rest of your life, and it's day by day. Jesus had some pretty other hard words about following Jesus. He said, hey, you're not worthy of me if you're not willing to pick up your cross daily and follow me. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you are willing to lose your life for my sake, guess what? You'll find it. If Peter would have said, no, Jesus, follow you? Nah, I'm not sure where you're going. I got to have all the answers first. Then he would have been trying to save his life, but he would have lost the life that God had for him. But he was willing to lose the life that he knew to be willing to say yes to God, and he followed him. And he messed up. Guess what? You messed up too, man. You're a big mess up. Me too. I mean, Peter tried to follow Jesus to the cross, right? But when he got there around the campfire, Jesus was being interrogated. And they said, hey, aren't you a follower of Jesus? No. That dude, don't know him. Again, hey, aren't you one of those dudes? Not, and actually the third time they're like, wait, you were a follower of, because you sound like a Galilean. Your accent gives you away. You're like a fisherman from Galilee, aren't you? And I've known some fishermen from down east North Carolina, man. They have got some thick accents, worse than mine. And it's a dead giveaway. And he denied him and ran away crying. But Jesus didn't leave him there, and he doesn't leave you and I there either. What do I mean by that? Jesus was crucified, resurrected. Peter was ashamed. We're not going to make it to points 2 and 3. You ever been ashamed? You ever feel like you messed up? Feel like God couldn't forgive you? Again? I repented. I followed. I fell down. I messed up. That is the way of discipleship, by the way. My baby boy, one-year-old Porter, he's learning how to walk right now. And so he tries to follow you around the house, and he's getting pretty good, right? I mean, he's making pretty good time now. Pretty soon he'll be running. But he falls down, and then he gets back up. It's part of the process of life, and it's part of the process of discipleship to say, you're going to fall down. Don't get comfortable in the dark space, though. Don't excuse yourself and excuse your sin away. But just know that there is a Savior that loves you too much to leave you there, and he wants you to get back up today and to get back to hearing his voice and following him. And I want you to catch this, where in John chapter 21, where Peter goes back to fishing, and Jesus comes right to where he is, and he makes a little fire on the shore, and he starts to cook up some breakfast. Guess what he's cooking up? Some fish. And then he calls out, and they say, hey, Peter, we think it's Jesus. The nets were full. Jesus has performed a miracle. Peter decides to put some clothes back on and jumps into the water. I got to imagine waves just washing the tears away, right? As he's like embarrassed and in love at the same time. Embarrassed by what he's done, ashamed, and knowing this is still the best life I've ever had. And I've gone back to my old ways. I've gone back to the nets. And Jesus pulls him up by the campfire, and he points to these fish, and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these fish? I asked you to follow me, and you've gone back to fishing. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved. It's okay to feel that. To be grieved by the times when you fall down, when you fall short. Because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Peter denied him three times. Jesus was asking him three times to parallel that. And he's restoring him in this moment. Peter was grieved. Do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know my heart. You know that I'm sorry for what happened. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk everywhere you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death that Peter was to glorify God. That is, Peter was in his old age going to be crucified. Upside down. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and now at the end, he's saying the same thing. His message has not changed to Peter, and it has not changed for you. It's a simple message of follow me. No matter how many times you've messed up, get back up, listen to my voice, and do what I've called you to do. Just a couple verses later, John shows up, and Peter says, well, Jesus, what about him? What's going to happen to him? Because you just told me I'm going to die for following you. And he's like, don't you worry about him. That's not your business. That's a note for somebody here today to say, stop comparing your life to somebody else's. What God has called you to do is not going to look the same as what he's called somebody else to do. And that's perfectly okay. You're not the boss. God is your king. And if he's called you to a life of discipleship, doing something that you think is not as glamorous as somebody else, or maybe you're walking a more painful path than you think other people are, guess what? Suck it up, buttercup. Follow the king. You walk the path he's got for you, and you stop worrying about other people, and you'll find freedom in that. And you follow Jesus day by day. You know, Jesus, continuing on in that passage in Matthew chapter 4, is going around teaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom. That is, repent of your sins, because the king is here and so is his kingdom. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never followed Jesus, but today is the day where I need to have forgiveness of my sins for the very first time, then the good news is that that message is still available today as well. That God is calling people to repentance, and he has made the way for you to be able to repent and to be forgiven and enter into this life of discipleship. Because we see in the latter part of this passage that he is so compassionate and kind. He knows what you are going through. He knows the pain that you're dealing with, the hurt that you've experienced. And he wants to come to you in that space and minister to you. But the most important message I want you to hear today as a follower of Jesus Christ is that he wants you to get up and follow him every single day. My prayer for this church is that we would be known as simple people who read this book and hear the voice of God and do exactly what he tells you to do. And if you do that, you will look weird to the people around you. You will not fit into this earthly kingdom, because the words of Jesus are countercultural. So it's a simple challenge to say, I will read for 10 minutes. I mean, you don't even got to go 10 minutes, honestly. In Matthew, you're going to get zapped in like 30 seconds, right? You're going to read something and go, I want to keep rolling past that. That thing that you want to skip over, stop there. And dwell on that, and let the Holy Spirit give you the power that you need to be transformed that day. Not just doing the mistake we do by learning a whole lot and obeying a little, maybe, but instead learning what you need for the day, like manna from heaven, right? And then living on that for that day. I guarantee you, if you'll do that for 30 days, you'll wake up in day 31 a different person. Simply because you've obeyed the words of Jesus, follow me, and he'll make you a fisher of men. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these words, these simple, straightforward words to follow you. God, I pray that I would be a person who would every single day not look back, not wish for a different life, not compare myself to others, but God, that I would hear your voice and that you would give me the power to obey what I hear. And Lord, I pray that you would transform who I am, that you would continue to change me in the way that I operate so that I could look more and more like my King. And we pray this in his name. Amen.